What's happening, champions? It's Leonardo DiCaprio. I could be out banging models, but I'm here listening to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. I promise you're not missing out on banging hot models. It's so much more satisfying just listening to Nick and Steve, I promise.
It's true, but the show's not done live. I mean, you can bang your model and then come and check us out, right? You don't have to miss banging a model for us, but we do appreciate it. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
And in the grand scheme of podcasts, this show is very young.
Yeah, completely. I think you make excellent points, Steve, as per usual. Check out our webpage if you got a little time on your hands. Or hand, if you're an amputee. TheVocalMinority.net is our webpage.
Yes, it is. Social medias, we have them. Reddit, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, etc. And I laugh. I don't know if I should get into this. I probably should. I met Kennedy's cousin the other day, and he's an amputee. He's only got one arm.
Shoulder down?
Yes, just below the shoulder down. I've heard the tales about this guy. He's a very enthusiastic dude, and he was a wonderful guy. And when I first showed up there, this was at a guy ski retreat kind of party, so everyone's drinking and hooting and hollering. And I didn't know what the vibe was on, do we make fun of the arm thing? Do we address it? Does everyone ignore it? Like, what is it? And
you ignore it, obviously, right?
You would think. So we were there for a couple of minutes, and somehow, some conversation going on, he says, like, hey, I'm actually really good at something you wouldn't think I'd be good at. And this voice in my head was like, don't say juggling, don't say juggling.
Oh, no.
Because I thought it would have been funny, but I didn't say it. But then for the rest of the night, everyone constantly, including him, was joking about his lack of, you know, the one arm. And he was making nub jokes. And I caught a fish this big holding one arm out and the nub. Like, he was making jokes about being a one-arm guy all night. And my main regret was I had a great joke that I should have said.
Right. Yeah. Well, you could have told him you nubbed him before you left. You
right. Know. But he was a good dude. You want to know how he lost his arm?
Yeah, I do.
He was having some drunken night. I don't remember why, but he was on the roof of a building and tried to jump to another building and didn't make it. And he grabbed a power line. And as he swung from the power line, one of his feet connected to the building, finishing the circuit, blew out his arm. It went through. The arm that he was dangling from is not the arm that went away. It went through his body and blew out the other arm.
It's unbelievable. I have so much respect for amputees. Losing any appendage after you've learned to live your life having all four would be so tough, dude. And, you know, the fact that he can joke about it, I don't know if that makes him feel better because it's uncomfortable otherwise or what, whatever the reason. I mean, that's a great thing. Yeah, you got to read the room. And if he's joking about it, I guess you can joke about it. But wow, that is something, dude.
He was one of these guys that just radiates friendliness and big heart and, you know, you could immediately like. And
yeah,
he's had some weird things go on. And then the other story that came up that night, God help I'm not Joel for telling these things, but he attempted to water ski. He got a
prosthetic.
Yes, he got a prosthetic like hook thing and that he said he hated and whatnot. But this thing was super expensive, as all those prosthetics are. He was trying to water ski off a dock and holding on to the rope, and wow, the rope ripped the prosthetic off and it went down into the lake. He lost it in the lake.
Well, it's a good thing he didn't like it, dude. That's crazy.
He hired scuba divers to try to go find the thing and they never could.
You know, it's interesting that he lost his arm twice was my, you know, I mean, listen, that's not what I was going to say, but right. It's interesting that he lost his arm, his prosthetic, because apparently that's a very common thing. Like in subways, in bus stations, in airports and stuff like that. One of the biggest things in lost and found are prosthetics. Isn't that amazing? You would think that that'd be something you definitely, let's see, I got my keys, you know, I got my arm, like you would know that you were missing something. But now, like you said, they're so expensive that I guess there's a almost like a, you know, when you lose a pet, they can scan for a microchip. Like they could do that with prosthetics so they find the people that they belong to because they are so expensive.
Yeah, they can low-jack it. Apple yep. AirTag that thing, right? So.
Exactly, dude. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good time. And welcome to the show. We're going to talk a little bit about things that you regret getting rid of. Your arm could be one of them. You know, we'll see what else is on the list.
Yeah, this is a good relationship setup, quite frankly. We don't plan any of this stuff. We never do. But yeah, that story is kind of a good setup. I hope I didn't give away my high moral ground and appearance of being a nice guy.
Sounds like he would appreciate it, dude. I mean, you know.
I think so. But yeah, it's a good question. Things that can derail a relationship, quite frankly. I've always said that if I ever say something or do something that derails a relationship, it's probably out of dumb ignorance, because I think I'm a pretty thoughtful guy, but especially given what we do for a living, you never know when something's going to come flying out of my mouth that I epically regret.
Yes. No, I can't agree with that anymore. It's happened to me a few times where, like, I'm usually pretty thoughtful, but there are times that I get caught up and some things just fly out of your mouth, dude. Come on.
Yeah. And I also do get a little sensitive or protective about my things, about my clothing, about the things I have in my house. And I have had some women before, you know, they don't like that I have Spider-Man stuff around my house or guitars or whatever. They don't like my ripped jeans or, you know, whatever it is. And yeah, I've gotten beat up enough over the course of my life that I'm slightly sensitive about all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got to stand up for what's right, damn it. And ripped jeans are right. I mean, all relationships are about compromise. I'm willing to make a lot of compromises, a lot of sacrifice. But when you ask me to change the core of who I am, I wear ripped jeans, dude. I'm sorry. That's just who I am. Well, I won't wear them to your work meeting. But on Sunday around the house, I'm going to wear my ripped jeans.
Yeah. This is the struggle I've been having, though. As we discussed on last episode, Nick and I both just turned 49. And sometimes I wonder, like, am I just stuck in the mindset of a 20-something that wants to wear my ripped jeans and flannels? Or am I staying true to myself? And, like, I don't need to wear, you know, khakis and polo shirts and all that.
I think there's a good balance, dude. I mean, like you said, I mean, you always see, you know, somebody will bring their boyfriend with them to a work event, whether it's at law or whatever. But, you know, they'll bring a guy that's in ripped jeans and a leather jacket. Like, he just gives off the vibe like, I ain't changing for no one. You know, like, there's a time and a place, dude. If I'm going to somewhere where you need me to put my best foot forward and clothes are important to that, I'll make the change. But yeah, like, if we're going down to have a drink at the bar and it's not anything I need to make my good impression for, like, yeah, I'll put my ripped jeans on. I'm comfortable.
I agree with that. There are, of course, certain settings and work-related stuff. Yeah, I think it's fine to ask, what is the dress code? What do you want me to wear tonight? Like, I just, you know, yeah. I don't embarrass you in front of your workers or whatever. But yeah, more casual stuff is where it becomes debatable. And I remember a few years back when I was with a terrible human being that we were going to meet two of her friends for brunch, a couple. It was a little couples brunch thing, right?
Yeah.
I came out and I was wearing my ripped blue jeans and I had just a plain long sleeve t-shirt on. And the woman was just like, that shirt looks like you're wearing pajamas and there's no way you're wearing ripped jeans to go brunch with my friends. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. So I changed into some like freaking khakis and a nicer shirt. I show up to this brunch. The dude's wearing ripped jeans. The woman's wearing a long sleeve plain t-shirt.
Of course, dude. Of course. It's not okay. It's not okay for you to ask somebody to change who they are. You know, that's just, that was bullshit. But yeah, you can look nicer at different times. My wife, I mean, you've seen my, you were just at my house. You know, I'm a collector. I've got so much shit. We talked about my garage. Like, it's hard to walk in my garage. It's so full of stuff. I'd be embarrassed to show you my garage, dude.
See, I wanted to ask because I know you have several motorcycles down there. I kind of wanted to go see, but you both implied that it was a bit of a disaster out there. So
you couldn't have seen my motorcycles. That's how dirty my garage is.
That's hilarious. You've got a lot of good collectibles, and the stuff in your house is all very nicely displayed. And yes, it also looks like the SkyMall catalog exploded in your house.
I was
gadget there is.
It's so funny, dude. Yeah, Steve was just in town. We were celebrating his birthday a couple weeks ago, and he and Kennedy came up, and that's the first time you guys have been together at my house. And Kennedy was making a comment about, yeah, you guys have all the gadgets. You have all the gadgets. And I guess I never really realized it before, but after you left, I was like, we do have a lot of gadgets around here, don't we? Like, we're easily sold on SkyMall type things.
And it's awesome. But God, I can't remember what TV show we were just watching, Kennedy and I, just the other night. And someone had like the eye mask that massages your eyeballs, and they put their feet in the foot massager and they had their right. hand. I'm like, this is the Reynolds house, like verbatim.
So yeah. Like, yeah. At one point, I did. I had Steve and Kennedy both in the foot massager, the hand massager, and the eye massager.
I'm on the fence as to whether you're supposed to be massaging your eyeballs. I don't think it's good to be putting pressure on your eyeballs.
If it was too much pressure, you're right. But some light pressure, you shouldn't be doing it so hard it hurts. That's for sure.
Yeah, I saw spotty stars after I took that mask off. I might have the pressure up too much. But
yeah.
No, you guys have an amazing home with lots of good collectibles and fun gadgets. And we've debated before, like, what's the fine line between collecting and cluttering?
Yeah. I've crossed the line in some areas of my life for sure. This article I came across, I thought might be interesting because it talked about these are 10 items people regret throwing away when you're trying to declutter your house.
Okay. This is a good topic because over the course of my life, and usually when I move, which has been a lot in the last 5 years, I try to take that opportunity to declutter a little. But I also have, I mean, literally in the closet just off to my side here, I have boxes that I've been carrying around since Michigan or Seattle. It's like, it's a box I know I've kept all this time, and there's theoretically things in there that someday I may go look for.
No, I get it, dude. I mean, there is probably stuff in there that you shouldn't get rid of, you know? It's nice to have a few boxes of stuff you can open up and be like, wow, that was my life. That was a fun time. Or, you know, hey, these are from when my kids were little. Like, we had so, you know, to have those memories and stuff, I think is important.
And by the way, my ex-wife had decluttered for me a few times. And there are things now where I'm just like, damn it. Like, why'd you throw that away? Or I wish I still had that. Or now this thing is on eBay for $1,000 or whatever.
So. Right. Yes. First one on this list is an interesting one. It's family heirlooms. You shouldn't be decluttering and throwing away some stuff when it comes to family heirlooms, even though that old trunk filled with various knickknacks from your grandparents might look like it's just gathering dust, you should think twice before letting it go. Obviously, I really feel like family heirlooms are something to hold on to.
I guess it comes down to the definition of an heirloom. If it is truly a family heirloom, like something of some sentimental or emotional value, like, no, you shouldn't declutter it. But if you're just holding on to your, I don't know, your dad's old stack of newspapers or something, like, okay, that's clutter. But if it's an actual heirloom, why would you even think about getting rid of that?
See, but it can go too far. So my sister and I are completely different in this arena. Like, she has no attachment to things, and she'll give them away or donate them very easily to declutter her house. I would say I'm the opposite way, but like after my dad died, I kept all his clothes because I felt like it was disrespectful in some way to just, well, I put them in the garbage, or do I donate them to some crack whore in Tacoma? You know, like, it just felt weird. So I had them in my closet, and then I started realizing, like, I have this weird shrine of clothes of my dad's. He's been gone for 5 years or 10 years now. Like, do I get rid of them? Yeah, I probably should.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I guess I have left a bit of a challenge for my kids. If I drop dead right now, I don't know if they would know the difference between those boxes I'm referencing that I've just been hauling around, who knows what's in them, versus my actual collectibles and things that mean something to me. I could see them looking down from heaven being like, throw that one out. I don't, no, that's nothing. Just trash that, you know. Does it offer advice on this? Like, how do you know what an heirloom is, or where to draw that line?
Family heirlooms like quilts made by your grandma or granddad's collection of war medals, those are priceless. they've got stories behind them. So if an item has a story behind it, once they're gone, you can't just pop over and get those memories back. So it's saying to like hold on to stuff that either has like a memory tied to it, or, you know, like your grandfather's medals have a story behind them that you can, you know, continue telling to your kids, and they can tell them to their kids or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think if you're throwing out any dead grandpa's war medals, you're probably making the wrong choice.
Yeah, I would think so. You're talking about little tiny medals you can just put in a box in your drawer? Like, keep it, dude.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Next one on the list is things you'll regret throwing away during decluttering is old photographs. This is a tricky one, right? Because sometimes people are in those photographs that you think, I don't want that memory, or I don't need that memory. But like my wife, she was married once before me. She threw all of her wedding pictures away. Fast forward, her dad died, and now she doesn't have any of those pictures. She missed them of her dad, you know, at her wedding. I was like, I don't care if you keep that shit. Like, if you want it, keep it.
I had the exact same situation a few years ago. A girlfriend, you know, was like, we're together. I don't need. She was divorced. And yeah, she threw out her wedding album and all these things. And I cautioned her at the time that you may regret that someday. There are people in those pictures that may not be around forever. And yeah. She threw them out. And, I assume someday that karma or missing will come up. But
yeah,
it's a similar thing to what you just said. Like, how hard is it to keep a box of photos or scan them and keep them on the cloud somewhere? Because I have some pictures, you know, I will tell you, I lived with one of my exes for a few years, and I decluttered a lot of my pictures if it was the two of us together doing something. Like, I don't need that crap. But
yeah.
She was there for weddings and Christmas and birthdays. I'm like, I can't just throw out my Harness family Christmas photo because she's in it. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to miss my kids in that stage someday, or, you know.
Totally.
So, yeah, photos. That's a tricky one.
Yeah, it can be a tricky one. This would be my advice, and it's how I live my life, and so I obviously feel it's right. Maybe you're different, but I've got pictures with my exes in them that go way back, even into high school. And again, it's not me and my ex sitting there, but yeah, if they're in a family picture that was taken, or you know, my niece is in a picture or whatever, I'm not going to get rid of it for you. You know, that's a you problem, not a me problem. Like, I don't live with them anymore. It's not my current girlfriend. Relax.
For sure. If someone else has insecurities about it, that's their issue. But yeah, I would say do what I've done. Like, throw them in either a actual box or a online box and let them sit there. If you want them again someday, they're there. If you don't ever want to look at them, then what do you care if they're sitting there?
Yeah. This is a list of things people regret throwing away during a decluttering moment. Handwritten letters. How do you feel about that one? Do you have any handwritten letters, like even from like high school or your younger days?
No. First of all, it's a very short list of handwritten notes anyone has ever given me, and it's almost exclusively been women. And that's the kind of thing where I'm like, I don't need to see some love letter that a girl in high school or when I was 22 wrote me, because, yeah, that's just a one-on-one thing, just like the pictures of the two of us together. Like, that I can do without. My ex-wife famously wrote me a Dear John letter after 17 years of being together and having two children. I wake up one day. I mean, this was after we'd been going through couples therapy. We knew the writing was on the wall for divorce. But yeah, I woke up one day to a Dear John letter.
And it handwritten.
Handwritten letter. It had my name, Steve, on the envelope. And she never called me Steve. I was like, oh, this isn't good. And yeah, someone asked me, like, did you hold on to that? Like, maybe keep. I'm like, I burned that thing as soon as I got done reading it. I don't want anything to do with that karma and negative energy. Like, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I completely get that. I do have letters from junior high from girls, and just friend, like when you would pass notes in class. Like, I have those letters, and they are fun to go read sometimes, you know. But I hold on to my dad when he traveled a lot. Like, when he used to get ready to leave, sometimes he'd be gone for 2-3 weeks at a time. So he would usually leave, like, my mom a note on the bathroom mirror, you know, and leave me a note on my bedroom door, something like that. Yeah. I saved a lot of those old notes, and I'm glad I did, you know. Yeah. So I'll save handwritten letters.
And that makes sense. Like I said, I have a short list of those things. I do tend to, in a relationship, like if someone gives me a card or something, I don't throw those things away. I do put those in a little drawer or box. But then when the relationship's over, eventually I go and purge all that crap. But
sure.
For the active things, like, no, I'll keep that stuff. So
yeah.
You must have a lot of clutter, these people, if these are the things you're throwing out.
Yeah, no kidding. These are things that you regret throwing away while you're decluttering. Vintage clothing makes the list. While that funky jacket or retro dress is in the back of your closet and might not be your everyday style, vintage clothing cycles back into fashion before you know it. Plus, these items are often well-made and unique. That's pretty different from today's fast fashion. So don't toss them without thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I tend to hold on to clothes like I hold on to cars. I let them just utterly disintegrate and fall apart before I would ever think about getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, vintage clothing, even if you think it doesn't fit me anymore or anything like that, don't throw them away. That stuff is worth some cash.
I was having a conversation with my sister last night. When I was in, I think I was probably in seventh grade, I got a leather jacket from this place in the mall, and I'd never had a leather jacket. Well, I still got that leather jacket. It doesn't fit me. It won't ever fit me again, but I've still got it. And yeah, it's probably worth some coin now.
Especially put that stuff on like eBay or something. You can flip it for good money. So to some extent, understand maybe decluttering small clothes, but I don't know.
Yeah, if it's falling apart, like you said, I mean, feel free. This one will make all of us happy, I would think. These are things people regret throwing away while they declutter, and it's called vinyl records. Don't get rid of those, dude. Come on.
Why would you get rid of vinyl records? Again, if you don't think you want them or you don't want to frame them or something, there's megabucks in some of those old vinyls.
Yeah, for sure. We listened to a little vinyl while you were here. I've got a pretty good sized vinyl collection, and I don't know, maybe people think I could get rid of some, but why? They're small, dude.
And they're cool and they're hip and all that. We talked a couple episodes ago about technology we're still stuck with, quote unquote. And vinyl was on that list, but
yeah,
not stuck with it. There's an appeal to it. There is not only a retro kind of coolness, but analog audio does sound better than digital audio, and they still make record players. Like, maybe if you found your old Howdy Doody record or something, but that still, put it on eBay.
Put it on eBay. It's worth something. When you were here, I heard you kind of telling Kennedy about my old radio downstairs, talking that we used to collect old radios.
When we had money to blow on things like
that. I've got that old radio. It's the same way, dude. I like to listen to baseball games more than watch them. And in the summertime, I used to put that baseball game on that radio all the time, only for the sound, only for the nostalgia of that AM radio sound. You know,
whenever I see someone with an old radio, I immediately go and look at it to try to figure out if it's actually an old radio or if it's one of the 7 zillion remakes that are super popular out there. They do look cool, and I have one out in my living room, but the dead giveaway is always, does it have FM radio on it?
Right, yes.
It can't be that old. And Kennedy and I were just at her cousin's house, a different one that I mentioned earlier, and he had this cool old radio, and she saw me looking at it. She's like, is it an original? And I was like, well, it's got FM radio and a CD player, so I don't think it's
original. We'll see how you feel about this being on the list of items people regret throwing away during decluttering. Books made the list. I can tell you, dude, I live with this in my house. I have so many books from my wife, and when you do move, books are a bear to move, dude. I have cases and cases of books. She doesn't want to get rid of them, so what am I going to say? Get rid of them? No.
Yeah, books do suck to move because you can't fill a box with them. It'll be way too heavy. And this is, again, a problem I can't really relate to. I have like 3 books in my possession, and I have them because I haven't finished reading them or something. But I tend to say to book lovers, are you going to read it twice? Because in my brain, that makes no sense. But most book lovers will at least tell me that they have reread the books or skim the highlights or something like that.
I feel the same way, but I know for a fact that Rachel has several books that she's read several times.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Tom Clancy books, like she'll get into some of that shit and read it over and over again. I guess it's like watching a movie again for some people. You know, I'll do that.
Yeah, I guess. I can't relate. I would say declutter that stuff, but I have a completely different relationship with books than the actual book lovers.
These are things people regret throwing away during decluttering, and I can't relate with this one. I don't know if you can. It's art supplies.
I mean, on some level I can, because I've been artistic on and off throughout my life. Most art supplies have a shelf life, like old paint you don't want to keep, like colored pencils or pastels. Those things wear down eventually. So if you're enough of an artist, you should be going through those things on a cycle. If you're the kind of person that just kept your old watercolor set from 1978 that you haven't touched in forever, then yeah, throw that thing out.
This thing says, though you might have thought you were over your painting phase, art supplies are something people often regret throwing out. Why? Because inspiration can appear out of the blue, and having to rebuy all those supplies, well, that can be a real pain and expensive. But you're exactly right. Like, they have a shelf life. Paint dries up. I would imagine you can't keep it that long, right?
No. And I don't think it is that expensive. I mean, again, if you're the kind of artist that has a huge collection, then you're probably staying pretty active and it's not clutter. Otherwise, I don't keep brushes. When I did paint or when I paint around the house, I've had some people like, dry that brush off and save it for the next time you paint a room in 3 days. No, I'm going to go buy a new one for $6. Like, come on.
Yeah, right. This one I can't relate with either. These are things people regret throwing away when they declutter. This is kind of like art supplies, I suppose. It's called crafts and projects that you're in the middle of, mid-project.
Well, that'd be kind of rude if I'm mid-project and my, you know, my girlfriend or whatever, like, throw that stuff away.
If you have a lot of half-finished shit in your house, like if, let's say you're a knitter, and you knit half a scarf, do you keep it or do you throw it out and be like, if I haven't done it, I'm never going to?
There is a tipping point. I try not to be that cliche guy, but I do have a dirt bike in my living room that I bought in 2017 to renovate and, you know, get back to shiny new. It's probably always going to be a lamp. But I don't have a yard full of this sort of stuff. I have one thing that I wanted to get to and never have, but otherwise, yeah, like do it or don't.
These are things people regret throwing away when they are decluttering their house. Seasonal decor. I would say that those are, like Christmas decorations, stuff like that. I think you have had an issue with some of your Christmas decorations, haven't you? Didn't you? You lost some.
Yeah, I didn't lose them. A vindictive, terrible human being took decorations that I've been collecting my entire life, including decorations my children made in elementary school, and decided to just steal them and throw them away, burn them. I don't know what the fuck she did with them.
But yes. Yes. I didn't mean to not hold her accountable. You know, yeah, she did a terrible thing. So
otherwise, put them in a bin and put them in the garage. Like, the season's going to come back around. Do some people buy new Christmas decorations every year?
My mom buys... She didn't when I was a kid. Like, we always had our decorations. Yeah. But her, as a single person, she buys new Christmas decorations at least every 2 years.
To add to the collection, or she throws out the old and buys new?
Change. She wants it. Oh, I'm doing my tree in a different theme this year. I'm going to do it silver. I'm going to do it gold. You know, that type of thing.
She's like Macy's or something. Huh?
Yes. Yeah, right.
Well, if you're that into it, then I guess. But otherwise, yeah, I keep my Halloween and Christmas decorations. I may add a little over the years.
Yeah, I think we were saying in the beginning of this, like, those are the ones you should hold on to is, you know, the Christmas decorations that maybe you had with your kids or, you know, something like that. That's an heirloom, I would think, you know, some of them anyway. That's the list. Anything on that list that I didn't mention that you have thrown away and regretted over the years?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I can think of like maybe an old skateboard or a bike or something that at some point I kind of regretted, but I don't really recall ever throwing something out that I truly years later was like, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah.
So, no. And a lot of those didn't really resonate either as far as I never would or why would someone?
Yeah, comics weren't on that list. I mean, that would be something you'd regret if you threw your comics out.
Yeah, absolutely. But it does strike several nerves in there. There were multiple instances of exes of mine that did declutter that stuff for me, whether because they thought they were cleaning out the garage or they were being vindictive, terrible human beings. So, yeah, I start to wonder, like, if someone really does want to declutter your house, maybe that's a bad sign. One of my other exes...
Yeah.
I mean, we had been dating for several months at this point, but I don't remember what it was. I said something like, you know, I need to come up with like $200 to fix my dirt bike. And she was like, why don't you sell those microphones you got? Or you've got 7 guitars. Why don't you sell those guitars? I'm like, are you walking around my house just planning a yard sale? What the hell?
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh, and so, yeah, that sort of stuff can lead to serious marriage issues or relationships.
Yes. You've had some doozies, dude. How'd you get so lucky this time around? You were finally due?
Yes. The karma has finally come around.
Yes.
I just had to wait, you know, 50 years for a good one. So
that leads us into our next article. I came across this one. I thought, oh, there's some things on here that are kind of obvious. And there's also some things that, I don't know, maybe people need to have them pointed out. These are bad habits of married couples that lead straight to divorce. I mean, we've all got our bad habits. Hopefully none of them lead you straight to divorce, but these ones may, from what this article says.
Right. So articles like this make me nervous because either it's a list of no duh sort of things, like I would never do that, or it's the old, like, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Oh, crap. I do that one all the time. Oh, crap.
Right.
And then I'm like, don't show this article to Kennedy, okay?
Right, yeah. Well, that's the problem, dude. I know that Kennedy and my wife both listen to this podcast, so we may have to do some very clever editing.
All right, let's see if there's any glaring red flags, or if I would say, like, of course you should be doing that kind of thing. Is this women and men, vice versa?
This is just collective. Like, either one does this, yeah, you're out. I think you're going to be all right. Bad habits of married couples that'll get you divorced. Neglecting communication.
Yeah, well, I've never said anything about that, have I?
Nope. And that is one of those ones that we can just kind of say, no, duh. Well, I mean, are you stupid? You think you don't need to communicate?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I have learned that, yeah, communication is the key to a successful relationship, whether it's conflict or just keeping the relationship alive and well. But no, I mean, I've learned that by not doing it very well in some relationships. My sure. marriage in particular, I felt it got on cruise control at one point. I thought that was a good thing. We've been together 10, 12 years. Like, but no, that's toxic as hell. And yeah, Kennedy has commented on multiple times how refreshing she finds it that I'm willing to communicate about whatever the topic is, whatever you're annoyed, little issue, big issue, let's talk about it.
You can solve most things, right, with just a conversation, some maybe compassion, empathy, and understanding, or just being there to listen to it. It goes a long way most of the time, I've found, and I'm not a master at it, but I try.
You're spot on. You can either resolve things, or at least you can feel heard, or at least you can agree to disagree. But at least you get to some conclusion. Stuff festers if you don't bring it up. And then you're in a fight where someone's like, you remember that time we were at that picnic in 2005 and you said that? You're like, how long have you been holding on to that for?
Right? Yeah, we should have talked about that day of. I have noticed, dude, in my marriage that as I get older, when it comes to communication, that doesn't mean that you spit it out right away. Like, oh, we need to talk about this. Like, there are some things that I find appropriate to sit on for a day or two until the time is right to discuss. Do you find that?
Oh, absolutely. Time and place is key for good communication because you don't want to set yourself up to fail. Sometimes if you're doing it in the moment of, that's great. Other times it's too raw. It's too emotional. No one's had time to digest it. So a day or two is completely fine. I'm talking waiting a year or two is usually not.
Yeah, yeah. These are habits of married couples that lead straight to divorce, taking each other for granted. I feel like it's a no duh, but is it?
Well, taking someone for granted, I mean, part of my ear hears that of just appreciating your person for who they are and expecting them to be who they are. But truly taking someone for granted, no. Like I've said, like, even if she's cooking all the time, you got to express appreciation for that because then that person won't feel like they're being taken for granted.
Yes. I am thinking that it also ties back to the first one and communication because there have been times throughout my marriage where my wife has come to me and said, you know, I'm kind of feeling like you're taking me for granted on this certain issue or whatever. Like she said it to me before, and I'm glad she brought it up because I had no idea that I was taking her for granted or that she was even feeling that way. So, yeah, I suppose it's not a no duh thing. Like if you feel something like that, yeah, well, we should talk about it because I'll do my best to change it, you know.
Exactly. And that's a sign of a good partner. Because, yeah, you know, sometimes we are dumb men, as much as I want to think we're progressive, intelligent guys. Like, there are certain categories where, yeah, I was completely unaware that I was making you feel that way. So now that you've brought it up, not a big deal. I'll address it. I'll try to be more mindful. Like, then everyone feels better instead of letting it fester for year after year.
Yeah. These are all bad behaviors that leave married couples in the divorce office. All right. Not making time for each other.
Yeah. Again, these are recurring themes, I feel like, because, yeah, you got to take care of that relationship. So, you know, communication, don't take it for granted. And, yeah, making time for each other. Whether that's date night or sex night or binge watching your show night, like, yeah, you have to take care of the relationship.
So. Very recently, I found myself, again, I guess this is a dumb guy thing. Oh, and maybe it's just a dumb married couple thing, because I don't think Rachel realized it either. But, you know, we see each other every night, whether or not it's quality time. Sometimes I lose sight of that. Like, making time for each other is actually going out to celebrate each other or having a night to celebrate each other. It's not just sitting next to each other watching TV.
I think that's a classic pitfall of marriage, because it's almost easier to plan date nights when you don't live together, because obviously you're planning that time. And I've also said before, like, when you're not living together, you plan an evening. So that evening, I'm just going to be dedicated to you because we set aside this time. But if we're living together, there are certain nights where I got stuff I got to do, or I've got a show I want to watch, you don't want to watch. So
yeah,
you can't just assume because you're under the same roof that counts as spending time together.
Yeah. We recently just went to Hamilton, and I think that was an eye opener for me because I knew she wanted to go do that, and I kind of planned that night. And I did feel a connection that maybe we hadn't felt for a couple of months, you know. So it is easy to lose sight of it when you live together.
Yeah. It's good to know you're not throwing away your shot.
I'm not throwing away my shot, dude. Are you kidding me? These are all bad habits of, that's a Hamilton reference, bad habits of married couples that lead straight to divorce, criticizing instead of complimenting. Do you feel like there's a healthy way to criticize someone you love, whether it be a good friend, a kid, or a partner?
Boy, those are two separate categories, if you ask me. You should be complimenting correctly and not over the top. Don't compliment everything, or it never means anything. But criticizing someone, oh boy, is that a minefield. I mean, you got to be careful with that stuff as to how you address it. You know, Kennedy has offered up a critique or two of my clothing that we've discussed recently because we believe in open communication, that it sort of hurt my feelings when you made that, you know, criticism of what I was wearing that night. And now she feels terrible and is trying to be very mindful of that. But
yeah,
again, I felt heard. We had a little, you know, conversation, but there's got to be a difference between criticizing somebody and trying to offer constructive criticism. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It is. That's shaky ground. I mean, it's got to be done with love only, or it's going to come out bad most of the time.
Yeah. I can think of very few examples of straight up actually criticizing your significant other and having it not go poorly. You know, pointing stuff out. It's all about the delivery, right? Like I said, constructive criticism, or like, hey, I don't know if you thought about, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's a criticism. But if you're just flat out saying, like, again, you know, whatever it is, you're overweight, your pasta sucks, like, that's, I don't see how that goes over well at all.
Yeah. I don't know how she can be overweight and her pasta sucks. Good one doesn't go with the other.
Too many comments.
Constructive criticism can be a good thing, I think. But yeah, like you said, delivery is real important and timing. Ignoring financial discussions is the next on a list of, you know, habits that are bad that lead married couples into divorce. That feels obvious to me at 49, but it didn't seem obvious to me at 29.
Yeah, I think the older you get, the more relevant that kind of stuff becomes. Because on one level, as I've been, you know, dating post-divorce, I had a few, you know, life coaches or articles I read talk about the fact that you have to be open and honest about your finances. And on one level, I'm like, I don't want you to love me for my lack of finances or my excessive finance. Like, you should love me for me. My finances should have nothing to do with it. But that's not really legit as you do get older in life, because whether you're living together or planning retirement, like you do have to be open about that. And if your credit score sucks and we're never going to get a house together or something, like these are legitimate things. But yeah, like the criticism, it's a topic you got to handle kind of open-mindedly and sensitively. And yeah, ultimately, you know, I have had this discussion with Kennedy of late. I mean, it was a few months back, but I felt I needed to be open and honest about it so that if this is something that is a problem or something that, you know, oh, he's got all this stuff or something, like, I'd like to get all that out now.
Yeah.
Have that discussion. I don't want to wait till we're 60 and you realize my 401k sucks and now that's a big problem.
And you don't want someone to feel trapped because, oh, I didn't know before, but now I know and I would have done things different or, you know. And I think it's a good idea to talk about it. Not only that, but having financial discussions as you go through your relationship, I think is important. You know, Rachel and I always say, like, big purchases, like, we should talk. I'm not saying I'm going to control what you get or don't get and vice versa, but, like, I should know about it, right?
No, for sure. And it can be a ticking time bomb. As you know, in my marriage, early on, I hated paying bills. It stressed me out. I'd sit down once a month at the kitchen table writing checks. And Jamie said, let me take that over. Like, I'll deal with the finances. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Until years and years later when I realized she was blowing all our money and screwing our taxes up. And, like, you know, all of a sudden it was a ticking time bomb that then exploded in our faces because I told her, like, I don't even want to talk about finances. You just handle it.
Yeah. Keep open communication. That's what that teaches you. These are bad habits of married couples that will lead straight to the divorce office. How about holding grudges? We've talked about this before. I think this is different in men to women.
Yes. I feel this is a man versus woman thing. I feel like men do a net gain, you know, list. She did 2 things that annoy me, but 5 things that were awesome. That's a net gain of 3 positive. I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women, at least in my history, and I have not experienced this with Kennedy, but historically, those lists are completely separate to women. You could do 100 good things. You do 1 bad thing and you will get ripped a new one for the 1 bad thing.
You're the devil.
Yeah. And I feel like that's unfair, but I'm not trying to say that just because you bought her flowers twice, that means you get to punch her once or something. Like, you know, it's all relative. But yeah, holding grudges comes back to what I said earlier about that toxic stuff that you're just holding on to that's going to explode someday. So
yeah
I tend to feel that at some point, if you really are holding a grudge, by which I mean, like, boy, you did something that really hurt my feelings or pissed me off or whatever. Like, it's going to be best to get it out there unless it's truly a one-off scenario that can never freaking happen again.
And there are those things. I mean, you know, if someone cheats on you and you decide to stay in the relationship, something like that could come back and, you know, it's something you won't ever forget. But, like, forget it, always forgetting to take the garbage out or something like that. You know, you can't keep that grudge forever or you're doomed.
Yes. If it's just I forgot to ask Tony Danza for an autograph for you, like, that scenario is probably not going to come up again, okay? So, I mean, I don't think we need to browbeat each other over it.
Yeah, we'll get it past that one, even though that's just pretty serious.
Can't take it back, okay?
You can't take it back. These are bad habits of married couples that lead straight to divorce. This is interesting. I would like you to rate yourself from 1 through 10 on active listening. Are you an active listener with your partner?
Would you say? Am I an active listener? So Kennedy would tell you I'm a very active listener. She has pointed out more than one time that she'll talk to me about her day or something that happened at work. And a few weeks later, she'll reference something. And I'm like, no, yeah, that you and Emily, you started that little court. Like, I tend to remember these things. However, I'm also a bit of a stoner and I'm a human being and I don't remember everything. So. Sure. I think you can be an active listener in the moment and be engaging in conversation. It doesn't mean you have a photographic memory and you're going to retain everything. But
yeah,
for the most part, I think I'm a pretty good active listener. And part of that comes from what we do. You know, I mean, we interview and we research things. Like, I want to know about stuff. I want to know about her day and what happened and what was this curriculum thing or whatever. Like, I'm intrigued by that stuff. So maybe it's partially trying to be a good partner and partially just my natural interviewer curiosity.
Yeah, no, that's fair. For whatever reason, it's a good it's a good thing to do. Active listening.
How do you feel you are?
I will say most of the time I'm good. Because I was analyzing my relationship after we had this date night, I was like, how did we fall into this kind of humdrum of you coming home, we have dinner, we watch a little TV, we go to bed? And I think active listening is something that is very important. And I noticed that we were both on our phones. We were talking to each other, but Rachel might be playing a game. I might be doing something. So I think that I have been putting my stuff down because I can hear you, but I want you to know that I hear you. And I don't want to just be listening to respond, you know, like I want to actively listen to you. And I think that it's something that, hey, you got to remind yourself every once in a while. We get so caught up in being busy and with our gadgets and shit that, yeah, put them down. Like, let's have the one-on-one, and that's active listening. So I think I'm pretty good, but I have room for improvement all the time.
That's fair, and that's a very modern issue. Not that we didn't used to have TVs on or whatever at the dinner table, or you know, but there's always been distractions throughout the course of history.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you guys handle the phone thing? Because I don't want to deny that it's fun to flip through TikTok, or you and I do a lot of social media stuff. There are times in the evening where I'm like, I need to spend 20 minutes like responding to some comments, or I got to post the latest clip or whatever. And I feel like Kennedy and I have gotten into a good balance where often when she'll get home from work, we'll sit for 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and just one-on-one, like chat about our days and have an actual conversation. And then there's other times where I'm like, can we just spend like 30 minutes on our phones? Like, you do your thing, I'm going to do mine. We're sitting there next to each other, but we've given each other permission to focus on our device for a while.
Yes, we're going to do it, right? There's things that we have to do on our phone, and there's things that, you know, for enjoyment we want to do on our phone. So I think as long as we have, like you said, the time, Rachel requires to be at her best when she gets home. She needs 30 minutes of not harsh engagement. How was your day? What'd you do? What did you have for lunch? You know, she needs to unwind for a minute. Then after that, we usually have conversation, and we'll have it throughout the night. And if we are getting into an actual conversation, not like, hey, I got to go to the store tomorrow, you know, do you need anything? We'll put our phones down for the most part, you know, and talk to each other. So it's just balance, like, you know, we always talk about on this show.
Yeah, balance and communication, a recurring theme here.
Hey, if you want to get divorced, do all these things on our list today. These are bad habits of married couples. They'll lead you straight to divorce.
That's a good glass half full way to look at it, or glass half empty to the bottom. I don't know. Hey, if you're trying to get divorced, these are great things to be doing.
Yeah, write them down, dude. Save this podcast. Next one on the list is avoiding conflict at all costs. I know you've had that in your life, so I'll let you speak on it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that killed my marriage. I mean, I was with somebody who wanted to avoid conflict at all costs. And that cost was usually a laundry list of white lies to avoid having any conflict, to avoid having had hard discussions or whatever it is. And yeah, this comes back to bad communication, holding on grudges, letting things fester. Like, yeah, just avoiding conflict will always boomerang right back into your face. Takes a while. Yeah. But it'll come back and hit you.
Hey, does conflict have to be bad?
Conflict resolution is a key to a successful relationship. There's always going to be some sort of conflict, big or small, and that's to be expected. You're human beings. The two of you cannot just coexist and expect you're going to be on the same page with everything. But conflict resolution does not have to mean arguing about it. And hopefully the majority of the times you're not actually arguing about it.
If there's more than one person involved, there's going to be conflict. Doesn't always have to be a bad thing, right? It's just, again, I guess communication and letting the other person know.
If there's no conflict, somebody's holding on to secrets and grudges and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, don't let that stuff fester. Whether it's a political thing or a practical who's doing the dishes or whatever it is, like, there's going to be conflict. So work at resolving it without blowing up.
You have conflict with your kids, right? And you don't think of that as like failing. Like, you have conflict with your kids. Like, I don't know why we feel like conflict in a relationship of sexual nature would be failing, you know?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, some of you might be with toxic people who you know are going to lash out at you, so you want to avoid the conflict or whatever, but that's the bigger red flag, not the conflict itself in that scenario.
These are all bad habits of married couples that lead straight to divorce. If you want to get divorced, well, put this one on your list. Letting intimacy fade.
Boy, I have a lot of life experience with all of these things because that sucked in not only my marriage, but the woman I was with for 3 years before that. So I've said on the show before, I'm a very sexual dude. I enjoy sex. I like intimacy. But I spent 20 years of my life in a relationship, two relationships, where none of that was getting met. And I got to the point that I convinced myself my needs were unreasonable or, you know, whatever. And now that I'm in a healthy relationship like that, I mean, I can't imagine why I ever thought I should be sacrificing that.
Was there part of you that felt like a Neanderthal to bring it up as far as, you know, like you just, oh, typical man wanting sex all the time? Was that part of the reason?
Yeah, I mean, yes, some part of it I felt I was just a overly horny guy or whatever. I mean, that first 3-year relationship with the redhead in Seattle, I don't know why I don't want to say her name, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that came about, she was abused as a child, and it caused all these problems in our intimacy, and I ended up starting to feel like I was the predator or the perpetrator, because I was the one that would touch her a certain way, and she'd start crying or, you know, shrivel up in literally in the fetal position, and it really tainted my perception of sex in a negative way I'd never experienced, and that took me a while to get over. But then, yeah, in my marriage, I was made to feel like I was just some overly horny guy. And again, everything is relative. Different couples wanted different frequencies, all that stuff. But it should be part of your relationship, whether it's a little or a lot. You got to be on the same page about that.
Most of the time when you hear people get separated or divorced or end a relationship, it's usually followed by like, yeah, you know, we hadn't had sex in 2 years or something like that, you know. So it's obviously a key marker of, you know, failed relationship.
Well, and sometimes it's the symptom of the virus, and sometimes it is the virus, you know. Aww. Like, sometimes your relationship's just falling apart for other reasons we've talked about here, which then leads to you not being intimate. Other times, it's the lack of intimacy that causes the other problems of grudges and resentment and not communicating.
Yeah.
But either way, like, yeah, be open and honest. Communicate about that stuff.
Bad signs for you that you're going to get divorced if you do all these things. That's what we're talking about today. You've heard before, I've said it on the show before, comparison is the thief of joy, right? Constantly comparing yourself to others is a thief of joy. And they say that if you continue to do this in your marriage, it will lead to divorce.
Yeah, it's tough to compare yourself to others because, you know, I've said before, like, nobody knows what's going on in that relationship except the two people in it.
Yeah.
You can make assumptions based on anecdotal things someone has told you or the way you observe them, but you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. So everything is relative. And like I said, too, it doesn't matter if somebody else is having sex 7 days a week. That shouldn't be your standard if you only want to have sex 4 days a week or once a month, or it's all relative. So keep it, you know, healthy within your realm, not what you think someone else is doing.
One of the examples that this article points to is we've all scrolled through social media and thought, why can't we be more like them? Sound familiar? It's easy to get caught up in the comparison trap on social media. We'll point out exactly what you said. Like, yeah, you can go through social media shit, but I mean, I'm posting the highlights.
By design, that is what social media is.
Sure.
It's called Facebook. No one posts their trip to Hawaii and then 2 days later, them screaming at each other. Like, you know, you're only, of course, posting the good. So, yeah, take all that with a gigantic grain of salt.
Yeah. We're getting a little low on time here, so I'm going to blaze through a couple of these. These are all bad habits of married couples that lead straight to divorce. Over-relying on technology. Love it or hate it. It can be a third wheel of a relationship. Don't let it be. Technology.
I'm not talking about sex toys because you got to rely on that technology.
Oh, sometimes. Yeah, not all the time if you know what you're doing. No, I think they're talking about phones, computers, stuff like that. Yeah. This is another bad habit, keeping secrets. Yeah, I mean, that seems like it should be pretty upfront, right?
So I should discuss my second and third families that I have? Okay.
Yes. Really. Unless you're a Russian spy, then keep it to yourself.
Yeah. What if I'm in the CIA? Then what do I do? I've been sworn to secrecy.
Come on. Yeah. You gotta be good CIA agent. Don't tell people. These are all bad habits of married couples. It leads straight to divorce. I can't speak to this. You can. Focusing only on the kids. Is that a problem? Or was it ever a problem for you?
Of course. This gets back to balance and all that stuff. It's easy to do because you become a parent and they're so important and you're the ones in charge of keeping them alive. But yeah, you know, adding to the family is a good thing, but you have to keep the relationship healthy. You have to communicate.
Yeah. Next one on this list, dude, I feel like it's one to be cherished that you should always do. And the only reason I say that is because I find it's a joyful part of my relationship that I enjoy with my wife, a lack of shared goals. Having some shared goals together that you can both be trying to obtain is, I think, so important for a great relationship of any type.
Shared goals, meaning you have the same goals or you're sharing each other's goals?
You have the same goals. So like, you know, for us, this podcast, we both share the idea that we're going to grow this and it's going to become something bigger. Like we're working together to get somewhere. And you should have that in your marriage or relationship.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I'm the kind of person that I want my partner to have their own little goals and ambitions in life. You know?
Yeah.
I've said before, I'm impressed with people that have careers. I'm not overly impressed with people that have jobs.
Just yeah.
Around jobs. Like that's perfectly fine for a lot of people, but I'm more impressed with somebody who has some drive towards a goal. So.
Yeah, completely. How about always needing to be right? Do you think it's a bad habit?
Why would you ask me what you're talking about? But what if you always are right is my problem. Yeah.
That you've struggled with that being the answer.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I've always said I'm only going to argue if I feel that I'm right, and I'm not just going to argue for the hell of it. But yeah, you got to know when to pick your battles for sure.
Yeah, that's very true.
Sometimes people have changed my mind, so you got to be open-minded enough. But you don't want to be wishy-washy. You got to stand for something or you fall for anything. You know?
Yeah, but do you go into the argument wanting to win?
It depends what the topic is.
Yeah,
The only argument Kennedy and I have ever had was about the WNBA. And I thought that was a pretty safe topic because I've been on events in my life and I know what it's like when you undersell tickets. And I came at it from that angle. She had a much more like, you know, women being repressed angle. And I didn't realize I was stepping on a minefield there. So at first I was fighting hard of like, this is safe. I'm debating economics. And then I realized like, oh, no. This is this has gone into a category that it's a hill I'm not dying on, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Bad habits of married couples, it leads straight to divorce. Showing disrespect. Sometimes these are going to get funny, okay? Obviously, you can't disrespect your partner.
It's the like spit in their mouth thing. Some women are into that.
Some people ask for disrespect at times, so you should give it to them.
And I'm not implying that either of us have done that. Because
no.
God, I find that terrible. But there is some level of foreplay that some people would deem disrespectful. But
bad habits of married couples that lead to divorce. Ignoring personal growth is on the list. Of course.
Some of my growth can't be ignored, if you know what I mean.
Neglecting friends outside of marriage. Do you think that's a problem?
Oh, it's a common problem. Yeah, for sure. Everyone should have their person, but you should also have other people outside. You can't just be in a cocoon with one person only.
No, you cannot, Stephen. We'll end with being overly jealous. Are you a jealous guy?
No, I'm really not. I've had some women that have pressed that envelope on me. And there was one in particular, Dottie, who's come up on the show before. You know, there was a night or two where a guy friend from nursing school would come to her house at 10 o'clock at night and they'd watch TV together. And I was like, it's not that I'm jealous, but that's really weird and mildly inappropriate.
Yes.
And I had my good female buddy back in Michigan tell me, because I told her, like, I brought this up to Dottie. And she was like, you shouldn't have brought it up. That's inappropriate. And I was like, well, why is it inappropriate? She said, because you shouldn't have to bring it up, Harness. You shouldn't be with a woman who would do that and put you in the position where you would have to question what the hell's going on. It's the cart in front of the horse kind of thing. Like, you shouldn't have to address the horse because the cart shouldn't be there.
Yes. Yeah. And she was 100% right. I mean, jealousy, one of the ugliest emotions that we have as human beings. So be careful with it when it's around, and don't use it too often.
I was only in one relationship where a woman was truly jealous. And like one night I was on Facebook Messenger and she came running in my office. Who are you on Facebook Messenger with? I'm like, my sister. Or she would question, like, I saw some cute blonde commented on some post. Like, yeah, that's a woman I worked with in Seattle 20 years ago. Like, that stuff is annoying. And to some level, at first, I was like, oh, how cute. She's worried. But no, it's the sign of a bad, narcissistic, toxic person if it's a theme.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want someone looking through your phone while you're asleep, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's no good. So. All right, ladies and gents, well, thanks for joining the podcast today. It's The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and we have social media, if you didn't know.
We do. And I feel good about that list. I don't think either of us are headed for divorce. So.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, find us on the socials, YouTube, Reddit, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky.
And call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. We just learned that Gayle King will make a ascent into space, and Oprah will stay here on planet Earth and help us leave the show today.
Hey, everybody, it's Oprah. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Thanks for listening. You get a car, and you, champion, get all 180 pounds of Oprah lovin'. Get you a big bite of that.
And we say bye-bye.